I calculate it right, about 10 days have gone by since the beginning of Lent. So for those of you who have given up something or taking on something, you have 30 days. And I don't know whether that's good news or bad news. And if you haven't made a commitment yet, there is still ample opportunity to begin a spiritual discipline. Now, I will confess that I have neither given up or taken on. Instead, this year, my spiritual discipline is to reimagine Lent, not as a liturgical season fixed in our church calendar, but rather as a spiritual practice that holds potential to be of value at any time. To reimagine Lent, not rooted in a fixed 40-day period, but perhaps a perspective more broadly available to us. As tidy as it might seem to assume that we can always schedule our need for spiritual refreshment to fit our February-March date books, the reality is the human experience is impacted by unscheduled, unexpected life events. What I wonder is how a Lenten perspective can be useful and transferable for those unscheduled, unexpected life events in our lives. To consider Lent not as a noun, but as an adjective to use during a specific challenging experience in our life. When we think of Lent, what are the components that you immediately think of? Dust, dry, desert, solemn, signs of struggle or challenge. On the surface, seemingly, there is nothing life-giving about those images. Lent is designed to be a fairly bleak period, and intentionally so. But as Paul Harvey used to say, let me tell you the rest of the story. Bleak is only part of Lent. Lent has a beginning, middle, and end. There is an end to the bleakness. Lent moves us towards Easter. The Lenten experience does not take us down some dead-end street and just leave us there to shrivel and die. Rather, over a period of time, we arrive at a place we call Easter, places of new beginnings, or new understandings, or new hope, or even peace, places that are life-giving. This movement from desert to resurrection is the perspective that situations framed as Lenten times might offer us. Lent includes going from dark towards light. That is why a broad understanding of Lent includes hope. When Jesus was tired or overwhelmed, what did he do? Where did he go? He went to the desert. That was his destination, for he knew that in that place, which was desolate and arid, he would eventually find refreshment and renewal. It sounds so counterintuitive, doesn't it? Yet pastorally, I have witnessed this cycle of spiritual isolation or loneliness or loss or struggle, eventually leading to spiritual regeneration and nourishment over and over and over. Just this past week, I read an article about Pope Francis. He was asked if he ever experienced moments in which he doubted the experience or existence of God. His response was, quote, "I also know moments of emptiness." Then he pointed out that periods of crisis in our lives are chances to grow. He added, "A believer who doesn't experience those times remains infantile in their faith." Within the context of this sermon, I might paraphrase him to say, if we don't go through desert times, we will not mature in our relationship with God. John's gospel today gives us another example of this Lenten approach. This is the story of Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews who approaches Jesus with a litany of questions, seeking a better understanding of who this Jesus really is. For me, for now, the most critical feature of this story is that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Came to Jesus by night. That's not a random detail. John uses the themes of light and dark very deliberately throughout his gospel. Light referring to belief, and dark as a metaphor for doubt or disbelief or struggle. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus confused and struggling. He deliberately enters in the darkness of his faith, seeking understanding. I said earlier that I am in the midst of grappling with a broader interpretation of Lent as a theological perspective, one not bound by a fixed season on our calendar. I am curious to discover a mobility to Lent. Might we utilize the term purposely when we are undergoing any type of challenge, physical, spiritual, emotional, financial, or when we might feel lonely or isolated or dry or bleak? How valuable, perhaps, to name these experiences as Lenten in nature. To acknowledge while our situations feel like we are in the desert, and that reality is hard and gritty and prickly. Yet as a Lenten journey, there will eventually have some resurrection components to it. Easter moments somewhere, sometime, large or small. Our faith tells us they will appear. It is with that perspective that Lent, when experienced broadly, becomes an invitation for movement of the Spirit, from struggle to resolution, from despair to hope, from darkness to light. Just this past week, I heard about a quote from the well-known theologian, Martin Smith, who said for him, Lent is, and I'm quoting, Lent is a celebration. Lent is a celebration. That is a very powerful statement, reflecting the optimism Lenten experiences can offer. I want to end with a wonderful poem from one of my favorite spiritual writers named Jan Richardson, who expresses the life-giving possibilities that adopting such a Lenten perspective can offer at any time. She starts her reflection in the desert. And as I read this, I invite you to remember a time, if not now, but a time in the past, when you too felt you were in the desert. It's called Where the Lenten Breath Begins. Dry and dry and dry in each direction. Dust dry, desert dry, bone dry. And here, even here, in your own heart, dry. The center of your chest, a bare, dry valley, stretching out every way you turn. Did you think this was where you had come to die? It's true that you may need to do some crumbling, that some things you have protected may want to be laid bare. It's true that you will be asked to let go and then to let go. But listen, this is what a desert is for. If you have come here desolate, if you have come here deflated, then thank your lucky stars. The desert is where you have landed. Here, where it is hard to hide. Here, where it is unwise to rely on your own devices. Here, where you will have to look and look again and look close. Look close to find what refreshment waits to reveal itself to you. I tell you, though it may be hard to see it now, this is where your greatest blessing will find you. I tell you, this is where you will receive your life again. I tell you, this is where your Lenten breath begins. Amen.